Welcome, I'm Brian Ross, Chief Investigative Correspondent for ABC News. Today, an in-depth look at a very big story, Iran and the CIA. Current and former intelligence officials tell ABC News that the CIA has received secret presidential approval to mount what is known as a black or covert operation to destabilize the Iranian regime, and that it is now underway.
She is an American citizen, and I have complete confidence that she was not engaging in any sort of espionage. She's an Iranian-American who was interested in the country which her family came from.
The officials say President Bush gave his approval with the formal signing of a presidential finding, a secret document that authorized the CIA to act against Iran.
Any action, lethal or non-lethal, that is U.S. government sponsored, but the U.S. government is hiding its sponsorship, requires an intelligence finding.
It's the biggest unrest seen in the Iranian capital since the 1979 revolution. Thousands of supporters of pro-reform candidate Mir Hussein Mousavi clashed with police. They claim victory has been
stolen.
Intelligence
officials described the CIA's Iranian plan as non-lethal, involving a coordinated campaign of propaganda broadcasts, placement of negative newspaper articles, and the manipulation of Iran's currency and international banking transactions.
To prevent the unrest from spreading, authorities have blocked the country's mobile phone network and some internet sites.
Facebook is young Iranians' main link with Mousavi headquarters, now that text messaging and many websites have been shut down.
All playing to perceived vulnerabilities in Iran, according to former Assistant Secretary of Defense Peter Rutten.
I think it's economically vulnerable. I think there's ferment in the country. I suspect there are a lot of people in the among intellectuals, among students, even in political life, who really don't like this clerical.
There seems to be a systematic shutdown of communication networks in Iran.
Yes, up until a few hours ago, Facebook and YouTube were still working. So young opponents who went out on the streets with their cell phones, they could also call each other to the streets by using cell phones. Text messaging was down, but you could still call one another. Now that cell phones are down, it's very hard for them to mobilize on the streets.
Until 6 months ago, Bruce Rydell was a senior CIA official dealing with Iran and the region. He would not confirm the CIA covert plan, but says it fits in with overall U.S. policy.
I can't confirm or deny whether such a program exists or whether the president has signed it, but it would be consistent with an overall American approach of trying to find ways of putting pressure on the regime. And this regime is extremely paranoid.
What's happening right now is that Iran has a very large diaspora abroad, and these people are constantly on the phone to tell their friends what's going on. Another thing that's interesting that happened in the last hour is that since Facebook was cut, these same friends abroad have been sending pirate materials so that their friends in Iran could go around the blockade of websites.
Officials in Iran have already accused the CIA of running a secret operation to bring down the regime. As ABC News reported last month, the U.S. has been secretly encouraging a Pakistan-based militant group which has carried out a series of attacks on Iranian military units.
I think everybody in the region knows that there is a proxy war already afoot, and this covert action is now being escalated by the new U.S. directive, and that can very quickly lead to Iranian retaliation and a cycle of escalation.
As faithful gathered for evening prayers, more than 20 people were killed. Iranian authorities say they've arrested three people in connection with the attack, claiming they were backed by the United States. claim echoed by some of the country's religious leaders.
What we can say without doubt is that this attack bears the fingerprints of America.
24 hours later, more violence in the same city, this time at the campaign offices of President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. With less than 2 weeks to go before presidential elections, the government will be aiming to prevent any further attacks.
Zahedan is the capital of Sistan-Baluchistan province. For years, the region has seen attacks by a Sunni opposition group known as Jundullah, or God's Soldiers. Tehran claims the US has been financing the group in a bid to pit Sunni Muslims against Shias in the run-up to next month's presidential elections. Not so, says Washington.
The US strongly condemns all forms of terrorism. We do not sponsor any form of terrorism in Iran, and we continue to work with the international community to try to prevent any attacks against innocent civilians anywhere.
Officials at both the White House and the CIA declined to comment, saying that as a matter of course, they do not comment on allegations of covert action. Joining me now is the principal reporter on the story, Rich Esposito of ABC News. Rich, good to have you here. Help our viewers understand how big a story this is and why we decided to break it.
We decided to break it because we felt it was a very important part of the debate. Propaganda is, most people don't realize, one of the most important parts of the CIA's job.
It looks like it's being excessively authoritarian. It's crushing the free desires of its people. And so how does the president go out and say, well, now I want to have this dialogue with Iranian leaders? And though this makes it complicated, one advisor mentioned Tiananmen Square, that dealing with the Chinese after Tiananmen Square was very difficult for the U.S., but that nevertheless the president still has to find a way to protect U.S. national
security. It's a serious plan, but it's a plan to destabilize. It's a plan that uses information, television, broadcasts, newspaper articles to pressure the regime.
BOA, Roxana Saberi said she was released only after she falsely confessed that she was a U.S. spy.
They promise to release you if you confess. One thing they do is they record the confession and they video recorded my confession. Now I want to say here that if one day they decide to show that video, it's all a lie.
We also
talked about pressure on Iranian banking transactions. How important is that?
That's key. In the past, in Iraq, they tried to flood them with phony currency. Iran's a lot more sophisticated, so we'll look to influence their banking system.
I'm very happy to be back home in the U.S. I wish I could personally thank all those who supported me during my 100 days in prison. The American people, President Obama, Secretary of State Clinton, the North Dakota Congressional Delegation. I want to thank human rights organizations and my fellow journalists, those who helped to keep my story alive and push for my release.
We take national security very seriously, as you know, and if there were an objection like that, we would look at it very carefully. We've done that in the past. There were no objections, and we were confident that there was no violation.
Do you think this stops the plan now that it's been made public?
No, I don't think it stops the plan at all.
Is it possible this was, in fact, a good thing from the point of view of the CIA? They like to rattle the cages of the Iranians.
Opportunistically, it's very well could be a good thing for them.
One thing that kept me going when I was in prison was singing the national anthem to myself. And it may sound corny, but I'm so happy to be back home in the land of the free. Thank you.